Hey guys, I'm Mark Potter. Welcome to another episode of Brushstrokes, a podcast powered by Canvas Magazine. Guys, today's guest is a gentleman by the name of Michael Greenberg. Michael is the founder of Gentlemen of Technology. It's a B2B venture creation and strategy consulting firm. He has since also launched a call for content where he actually has just published a new book called Authority Marketing Playbook. He's a wonderfully cerebral gentleman who has invested his time and energy into understanding how to create a following in this world. It is a really compelling conversation today about how anybody can create content. If you're a business of one or a thousand, how you can take the opportunity to create content, to create that following, to become an authority. And this conversation is near and dear to my heart because he specifically spoke of how to specialize, that your specialization is not around product, it's around the people who know you. His book, Authority Marketing Playbook, is subtitled, Be Known for Who You Are and What You Do. And so his ideas around content creation and within a specific niche are really, really compelling for all of us. And I'm really excited to present this conversation. Today's podcast is brought to you by Conduit Incorporated. Visit www.conduit-inc for all your custom content needs. We create content to channel and create community. Again, visit www.conduit-inc.com for all your custom publishing needs. But in the meantime, take a listen to my really, really fun conversation with Michael Greenberg, author of Authority Marketing Playbook. Enjoy. Michael.
Mark, I am so sorry about being late. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. No worries. It's because you're busy, and that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just got off producing a podcast for a client.
Oh, that's great.
Which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're a blast, and it's a lot of fun for me to have people like you weigh in. You know, I'm not sure if you know about our world, but you know, we've been doing Canvas for about 11 years and just got a robust following of the graphic arts, printing, marketing services world, and they kind of love this stuff. They love this kind of content, and they love hearing from people like you because, you know, they're like everybody, they're in this mode of trying to rethink who they are and reimagine, reinvent, and so it's been fun for us to find people like you that are kind of playing that role, like, you know, and so I'm really excited to talk to you a little bit about specifically this authority marketing deal. I think that's going to be really cool. So but yeah, I think it's, I'm glad that you're doing that. I'm glad you're busy. Tell me, you know, especially late on a Friday, you know, we should be drinking beers.
Yeah, this Friday is actually turned into one of my busiest on record. Normally Friday afternoons are a big meeting day for me.
Yeah.
But today I've got four meetings this afternoon alone.
That's great. Well, that's good. Yeah. You know, there's no rest for the weary. We, you know, this is, you got to push forward. We have a saying that we've used with our community for some time now, and we say, be the buffalo, and it goes back to this Native American parable about how the buffalo charges towards a storm and the buffalo or the cow runs from it. And so we've had this mantra for many years about being the buffalo, and it's all about just drive. And while the world is a confusing world and noisy world, you know, hard work is you know, irreplaceable. So so I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. Tell me, you know what? Tell me, give our world a little bit of a background on who you are. Tell us a little bit about Michael Greenberg.
Sure. So I got my start in business selling candy in high school.
Oh, no way.
Right around the time when they started going healthy in the schools.
Right.
So we ended up doing about $800 a week across three schools, selling dollar candy bars out of little cardboard boxes. Cool. Because there were no rules in place yet to, like, not allow sugar into a school, which was great. And that got me started with my first taste of, hey, you can actually make money doing things.
Yeah.
Ended up working for a startup. Led a bit of product development there, and then helped build out some of the internal operations, especially building out sort of the sales and marketing and getting that machine running.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed with them for about a year and a half, had a lot of fun, but a little too high pressure for me. So I decided to go off, consult on my own, doing growth strategy and some product development. Started to narrow down and work with B2B service firms in particular, because they could really take advantage of technology.
Right.
And especially in that, say, sub 50 employee range, were still nimble enough. They could really try some new things.
Right.
And so I really had a lot of fun working in that area. And when I had gone to work at the startup initially, I had dropped out of school. So I went back, got my bachelor's, and decided to start one of those B2B service firms myself when I finished up. And I chose content marketing as my realm to play in.
That's so cool. That's fantastic. Well, that's a couple questions for you. Because that's, I mean, obviously you and I are probably going to find a lot of common ground on content and what it means. But before I get to that, let me talk to you about... because I think that's really compelling that you dropped out of school and went off to do this entrepreneurial deal. And that's kind of the, do you feel like that's, people are kind of challenging tradition on some level? I mean, it used to be, oh boy, you go to school 4 years, get it done, you know, and suck up your student debt or whatever. And, you know, then get a job. And, but boy, you know, a lot of people with some high-end degrees are working as baristas in a Starbucks these days. And I wonder if maybe that was kind of your mindset, like, you know, I'm just following my heart here and following. Was that a little bit of it?
Yeah, definitely. In my family, on both sides, going back about three generations, it's entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So people immigrated and then the family stayed working for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that that was an option for me already, which I think is a big step out from many.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them did not go to college to do that.
Right.
Then the thing that really made me shift my whole thinking, especially on higher ed, was when I found out that business schools didn't exist 100 years ago.
Right.
That the college system we have didn't exist 100 years ago.
Right.
And so that really shifted my thinking on, is this something that I can actually say is going to help? And I think we've almost passed over the realm that a lot of the stuff you would learn in school is useful to business.
Right.
In that with the great content that is out there today, you can learn more about digital marketing, reading blogs, or going and just interviewing digital marketers than you will ever learn in a classroom about it. Because sure. By the time they write the textbook, it'll be out of date.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating. And I tell you what, I think there was a couple decades there, maybe several decades where, again, we were so conditioned, you know, this is the way it's always been done. And there's been so many people that say, look, let's do you just, I know I, when I grew up, I mean, you know, you, you go to college if you can, and you know, you get 4 years and that's it, and then you get a job. And it's funny because I've got two young kids, and I look at them and I think to myself, you know, I'm not going to put that pressure on them. I want them to be independent. And I do think that we're almost getting to the other side in a period of time where people are starting to think for themselves again. I will say that there was a long stretch there that maybe we weren't, and there's still a lot of that. You've got a lot of social and you know, very, very Me Too kind of look at me kind of world. But I do feel like there's a bit of a backlash in that people are starting to do kind of what you've done, and that is, you know, think for themselves a little bit. I don't necessarily need to be a prisoner to the conditions or traditions of the past. And so I'm hopeful for that, for business in general. And I do believe that we're kind of in this free agent nation, and where, you know, you've got to turn to people like you and what you guys do. So do you see that too?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It's becoming a distinct skill set. And I think that it's as these new opportunities present themselves, the first batch, those first movers, they have a much easier time of it.
Right.
But over time, it slows down, and things can still change just as quickly to get the movement going.
Right.
Or a little more force.
Right.
Rather.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you have to know how to apply that force effectively.
Yeah.
Because realistically, our budget is our force at the end of the day.
Right.
It's how much time, how much money can we apply to solve this problem?
Right. Right. Yeah, that's good stuff. And I that's interesting. And I like to ask people a little bit about themselves, because you find some great lessons in their stories. You know, the fact that you were selling candy bars, and that's a big deal. I worry, you know, I worry about my kids. I worry about people in general not having stories. You know, you can only tell stories if you've done some stuff. I mean, if you've got to have some experiences, and I worry that my kids are got their heads buried in their devices or on the Xbox, and you know, they need to be able to tell their kids some stories about, you know, skinning their knee or what have you. But it's the same in business, I believe. And so I think I'm gonna take an assumption here, or make an assumption here, that you're of the same mindset, that, you know, being able to tell stories, the whole process of creating content is a really, really important thing these days. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
First test that I put any potential customer through is what I call the talk test.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to, if they're going to make you known as an expert in the subject, you have to be able to give a 4-hour talk on that thing.
Right.
Whatever it is. And if you don't have 4 hours of knowledge on that, then you probably don't have the experience as an expert.
Right.
And back to your kids for a minute. I actually mentor at a local high school here in St. Louis, where they have a whole separate incubator for kids to start businesses.
Oh, cool.
And the way they sell their stories and the way they build their brands online is totally different than the way I might approach it for B2B, or the way I might approach it with a client who's selling to an older audience.
How so?
And I think they communicate differently because they're growing up with social media these days, and they are growing up fully digital.
Mm-hmm.
Don't necessarily care about geographic location so much as digital location.
Mm-hmm.
So where in the whole social media universe of the groups that you're target profile interacts with, are you in relation to this other person?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole slew of new dimensions that come into play there, but them communicate in shorter periods of time most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
and at a much higher frequency. And so you've just got to communicate differently,
right,
entirely. And that's the way they build their businesses as well.
Well,
and do their marketing.
And business to business people, much like our community, they need to understand that, right? I mean, there's simply different ways that generations of people communicate, and they're going to have to be kind of cognizant of that, are they not?
Oh, yeah. And I build, when I work with a client, one of the things we do is we build out personas.
Mm.
And I build personas directly from that client's ideal clients. So we'll go through their client list. We'll say, these are your four favorite people, and these are the two of your four favorite clients that make you the most money.
Mm-hmm.
And they make up how much of your total income every year? That's perfect. Let's say it's 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to find more of those. And you have to know how old somebody is. Because
right.
When I have a client selling to startups, selling to, you know, a company that's raised maybe 20 million, they're selling to somebody on Instagram potentially.
Right.
They're selling to somebody who's probably not on Facebook and might not even be on LinkedIn much. But if they're selling to a 45-year-old marketing manager in B2B, that person's going to be on Facebook all day.
Mm-hmm.
On LinkedIn. They're never going to turn off LinkedIn.
Right.
And you can reach them through those channels. And if you don't know exactly who you're targeting and you don't know where they live, then you can't get in touch with them and you can't make yourself an authority to them.
Right. Well, and I'm going to ask you about the book here in a second. But that's really interesting that, because I feel like our world is made up of a lot of small to mid-sized business. I think the world is going that way. And like I said, kind of a free agent nation. So, but they need help, right? They don't have a lot of, they don't have a marketing backbone, if you will. They don't have a cornerstone to their business that's rooted in marketing. And, you know, in the B2B worlds, especially, it was always commission-based salespeople, you know, throw them out on the street and let's go. And what you're saying is, you know, look, you got to step back and you've got to have some strategy around this. And some of it's fairly straightforward, but boy, I don't think a lot of people take the time to do that, to think, you know, yeah, this person's 45 years old. Let's determine the channels that they're most likely in and think about what our campaign and our messaging is going to be and if it's applicable. So when you're working, I mean, that's, do you see that? Do you see, I mean, obviously you're doing this because you think there's a bit of a need out there, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've really come to these because these are the mistakes I've made, or these are what I've seen my clients make again and again. And I try to never let myself make a mistake twice or the same mistake twice. And I try to do the same for my clients.
Right, right. That's great. Well, tell me about
positioning, though.
Oh yeah,
that's the number one thing, is just not understanding how to position effectively with your content because you don't understand your customer well enough.
Right. Yeah, and I, you know, and I love that, and because, you know, look, this, we do that, and we're immersed in that. I love the publishing process. I love it. I think it is. In a lot of ways, this is the publishing process. I get to spend time with someone like you, and I can ask maybe even the most mundane questions or, you know, naive questions, but publishing allows you to do that. Sometimes in business, we get so tied up in ourselves that we're fearful of asking the stupid question, but publishing in a lot of ways allows us to go out and dig and ask be a little bit more vulnerable, and then, you know, you uncover the stories. And I feel like, you know, Warren Buffett was the guy who said, listen, you know, companies need to start acting like media companies. You know, the trend will be for brands to buy media companies. And so I assume that's, you believe in that. You believe in that process, not just, hey, let me just create content and throw it out there for the sake of creating content, but that process, the magic lies within that, right?
Yeah. And I came to choose content marketing through my work with an owned media marketing company that also operated a podcast network.
Cool.
And I loved what they were doing. I had a whole lot of plans on growth strategy with them that they chose not to carry forward. And the beauty of the contracts that I operated under were that those then became my IP.
Right.
So I took essentially what I saw as 2.0 and went out to start building it, to build these little owned media empires, so to speak.
Yeah.
Where that way anybody can go and say, hey, Michael, we want to be the media in this very narrowly defined category of high value to us.
Right.
And be able to go and do that.
That's cool. Well, tell me about the book, Authority Marketing Playbook. Be known for who you are and what you do. Give me, how did you, first of all, you know, when did it dawn on you to write it and come up with it? And then give me a little bit of the specifics.
Yeah. So I knew I had to write beginning when I started Call for Content. Of doing done for you content marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that I needed to sort of stake my claim to a strategy that I knew worked and put myself down to a more targeted client base. And that's actually the first thing that the Authority Marketing Playbook goes into, is that authority is built from specializing.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's relative. So only the audience that you're targeting needs to know who you are, and they're only going to care specialized knowledge that applies to them, because chances are there's too many people who are all saying they're experts in anything that isn't really specialized and niche. And so I took sort of what I knew was the best plan for content marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And I pared it down to what would work for a one-man team. What can you do on your own? And that became the Authority Marketing Playbook.
Give me an example of when you say, because I do like that. And I think that, I believe you have to be defined by who knows you, essentially. And so you have to choose. And honestly, the traditional B2B world, especially our world, the printing industry, a lot of them have just been defined by product, right? That's they people needed to print. And so that's, they were knocking on doors and saying, when you're ready to do it, I'm here. And today, these companies are marketing service providers. I mean, they do some print, but they offer design and they do fulfillment and digital campaigns and build sites, the whole deal. And so, but even then, even after they've expanded their repertoire, right, their portfolio of what they offer, many of them are still out there calling on everybody. You know, when you ask a salesperson in this industry, who do you call on? They'll say many times, oh, anybody who will buy print, or anybody who, and I, based on what you just said, that's got to be one of the worst answers you can have. You want to be defined by a specific niche and or world that knows you. And so, that's what you're saying. Look, you've got to get into that world and then become someone they know or respect as an authority, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you've got it spot on. And I'd say even in something like print, you can narrow down quite a bit. You can change who you're offering to. You can change the timeline that you specialize in. You can really, there's many ways that you can narrow your specialization to remove yourself from the competition.
Give me an example of that. Like when you say and timeline or something, what does that mean?
So, and I'm not quite as familiar with the publishing and print industry.
Right.
So I'm going to use an example from logistics.
Yeah.
And shipping.
Yeah.
In terms of time. There are shipping companies that specialize in the delivery within 24 hours or within 48.
Okay.
And specialize in short-term or emergency deliveries.
Okay. Yep.
So I know a company that develops steel piping that does a similar thing.
Yep.
Where they have a specialized machine that gives them the advantage to create a more versatile kind of pipe. And they'll never win the first contract, but when somebody else messes up, they'll win it 9 out of 10 times.
Right, right. Absolutely. Yeah, and printers deal with that. I mean, everything is just in time. Everything, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, there's different ways to differentiate. And with their breadth of offering in this day, I mean, they can be a much more integrated partner around communications overall. So that makes sense. And that's great. So what are the first steps? I mean, what do you think they should start to do? If you're giving them advice, if you're walking into any organization, regardless of what they do, you know, what are your first pieces of wisdom for them?
So number one, create content. Almost, unless your industry sells exclusively through trade shows, then you should be creating content. And if you're creating content, then you should be getting those email lists from trade shows or getting some access to the contact list from them and running targeted campaigns of content to them in preparation to the show. So content fits into your process in some way, and it might fit into the sales process. It might fit into the marketing process, but at the end of the day, you're going to want to be using content because customers expect to be able to find stuff without contacting you.
Right.
Then number two is to look at your customer base and see if you can specialize in serving a single type of customer. If you can't go that way, then look at specializing the offering you provide.
Okay.
And those are the three things that I really look at first in just about every business.
And so, do you think that companies need to, who can do this? Like, do they have to have someone special? Do you have to hire someone internally or do you feel like even if they're individuals, they can be doing it?
I think especially individuals should be doing it.
Okay.
I think actually the smaller the company, the more important it is that you create content. And that's a little counterintuitive, but it's because there's fewer people, the more concentrated, let's call it the company-ness of the company is in those people. So you're selling the people more than anything else.
Right, right.
And as a service provider, that becomes the case every time, no matter how large you get.
Yeah. I love it. I love it because it's near and dear to my heart, and I believe in it passionately. Let me ask you this, and then I'll let you get on to your other stuff. But when you're creating the content, let's just say you're an individual and or a small business. Where do they dig this up? I mean, they're not going to pull it out of thin air. I mean, you know, what are some of the things that you think, where do they go to inspire great content or create good content?
the number one place I say to look is the questions your customers ask you. Mm-hmm. You should, for every single common question, be able to point to some piece of content that answers that question. Right. After that, go in and interview your customers. Ask them, and if you go download a copy of the Authority Marketing Playbook, you can get the questions, the base template that we build out our questions off of. Mm-hmm. Ask them what their problems are and what issues they have. Ask them for the questions they've always been too scared to ask you.
Yeah.
Or have felt that they're too advanced to be able to ask that question.
Right.
Things out there that they just haven't asked yet. And then start digging in on what you see that you wish your customers knew.
Yeah.
And the second stuff isn't always going to hit quite as well, but it's important to get that out there and then retune it over time to focus on the customer first.
Right.
Than you.
Well, I think that's awesome because I just totally subscribe to it. And, you know, all it demands is that you put a little, planning. If you're one person, you're right. It's almost easier because that one person is housing the knowledge, chronicling, or charting the data, if you will. But any business needs to probably chart that. Too often they don't do that. That's where, you know, they lose that. They don't have that central marketing function that says, look, what are the common questions that are being asked by our clients? And are we housing that stuff somewhere? And, you know, a lot of them, especially because traditionally in the B2B world, they were using salespeople, all that data and knowledge and insight was all existed in the minds of the salespeople. And so that's why what you're saying is this publishing process, this content creation process is a great way for the company, regardless of size, one person to 1,000 people, get smarter, more empathetic of the marketplace. And so I love what you're saying. Let me ask you this. So before you go, where can they find Authority Marketing Playbook and more about you in general?
So you can find me on social media, whatever the social media is. If I'm on it, I'll be at Gent of Tech, GENTOFTECH. And then you can find the Authority Marketing Playbook and Call for Content online at callforcontent.com or callforcontent.com/AMP/AMP.
Fantastic.
And that /AMP is the Authority Marketing Playbook.
Excellent. Well, I think it's great stuff. And I just can't thank you enough for taking some time out on what is proving to be a very busy Friday for you. But I'm glad we did this because I think it's so critical. My, you know, group of listeners and our community, I think they buy into this and they're looking and they're hungry for how to build a following. And, you know, your ideas around authority marketing are spot on. And I just cannot thank you enough for taking time today.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Let's make sure we stay in touch, and we will. Next time we're together on a late afternoon Friday, we'll have ourselves a cocktail.
Sounds good.
All right, Michael. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah. Have a good day.
You too. Have a great weekend. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Michael Greenberg, author of Authority Marketing Playbook. I think you'll agree that his insight is dead nuts on. It's really time for all of us to start creating content that is relevant to specific communities that we serve. His message around specialization was not about product. It was about defining yourself by the people who know you and finding commonality in there. And he said, look, you've just got to start creating content. Now, that's near and dear to my heart. It's obviously what we do. And we believe that that process is where the magic lies. When you get to ask questions and chart that stuff and then regurgitate it back to the marketplace, it propels you to a place of trust. People start to think, boy, they're investing their time in understanding the market. They're rubbing elbows with the people that look and sound and act like me, and their content holds my attention. Again, telling stories, guys, means that you're having experience. You can't create content unless you're out there engaging people and asking those questions. So I am extremely passionate about that. I've built my whole company around it. I love the fact that guys like Michael Greenberg are out there delving into it as well and creating playbooks to help us kind of understand how to go about it. And I just think it's time for all of us to embrace that. So I can't thank Michael enough for taking time. We did do this on a late Friday afternoon, which was really cool because it shows that he's obviously committed to it. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. A reminder that this podcast, Brushstrokes, was brought to you by Conduit Incorporated, www.conduit-inc.com for all your custom content needs. Guys, I hope you're all doing well. I hope you're off to a roaring great start this summer. And let's just remember one thing. Let's all be the buffalo. Take care.